But I wanted you to turn to Luke chapter 1. I want to share just one thing here from Luke chapter 1. And we're going to look at that, again, the same passage where Elizabeth was and Zechariah were ministered to by the angel. And I love this passage. And we wrote a play about it with it in it. And I just still think I just never get tired of this passage. I always see something new in that passage. And so this is in Luke chapter 1, verse 11. Luke chapter 1, verse 11 is the story of the angel coming to Zechariah. And the atmosphere at the time it happens was an atmosphere of prayer. So if you look in the verses before, you will see that he was offering up incense at that time. All right. And there was a multitude of people outside praying. And so the atmosphere of the appearance of the angel of the Lord was an atmosphere of total participation in prayer. I want to say that again. When God answers prayer, the atmosphere for that answer is total participation in prayer. He was doing his job of putting the incense up, and it says that there were a multitude of people there assembled praying outside. So there was just this atmosphere of prayer that I believe opened the door for this angel, and I believe it was Gabriel, wasn't it? So this wasn't just any old angel. We're talking about the number one angel in the heavenly order of things. So Gabriel came down and told Zechariah, here is the answer to your prayer. And he said, your answer has come. And of course, Zechariah he struggled with that answer. And one of the messages I gave on the last 2 weeks was that Zechariah had faith to pray, but he didn't have faith to receive. Zechariah had faith to pray a prayer, but when the answer came, he didn't have faith to receive it. And we don't want to be like that, do we? That when we pray, we need to be attentive to be able to have faith to say, I've got my answer now. You see, because sometimes people get into praying and they won't shut up when the answer comes and start thanking God. And see, thankfulness, do you realize that in the New Testament, we are commanded to be thankful during prayer? With thanksgiving, offer up your requests at all times. So there in New Testament prayer, thanksgiving must be there. Not optional, not some of the time, but all of the time. If you're not praying with thanksgiving, you are not praying a New Testament prayer. You're not doing it the way God told us to do it. Thanksgiving means what? That means you're thanking God for something. What is it? Expecting the answer. So Zechariah was praying. Everybody was praying. But he didn't know how to thank the angel. He wasn't thankful. He was like wondering how it was going to happen. And so we need to pray always with thanksgiving. Prayer meetings should be exciting. They should be exciting because we just are so full of praise and prayer and thanksgiving while we're doing it. And one of the messages I said, and there was another message to another church, where it was just God is good all the time. But for some people, God is good only some of the time. Zechariah, God was good some of the time, wasn't he? In his mind. That I believe God for every prayer I'm praying, except for the one that I stopped praying a long time ago. Right? What was the prayer that he stopped praying a long time ago? You're going to have a child. And if you look in, the commentators say this, they say that he says, your prayer has been answered. Well, what he was really saying was the prayer that you stopped praying has been answered. Because the tense of that language was the aorist tense, which means something you do and you don't do it anymore. Right? So the prayer that you prayed has been answered. The one that you stopped praying for. And what did Jesus say? Jesus used a different tense for prayer, didn't he? He said, ask and you shall receive. Well, that word ask is in a different tense. It's in the continual present tense. I'm sorry, I'm being very English right here. Okay? Am I right? Liz, you're the grammar person, right? The continual present tense means ask and keep asking. And you shall receive. That means you don't stop asking, right? Right? Seek and keep seeking. Not seek once and stop. Seek, and as you're seeking, you will find. Ask, and as you're asking, you will receive. Knock, and as you're knocking, the door will be open. Not knock once. See that? And so that's what the Gabriel said. He says, the prayer that you prayed and stopped praying has been answered. That's God's grace. Amen? Amen. God's grace was to answer his prayer. Wow. Okay. So I'm just sharing a few things here. Hold on a second. My screen. There we go. So I want to skip down now to this verse. I want to talk about Elizabeth's reaction in verse 24. I can start with verse 23, Jan, if you can just get me there, that'll be good. When the time of his service was ended, he went to his home. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. I just want you to hold that up there. I believe there is a truth in the body of Christ or concept in the Word of God that has to do with vindication. With vindication. All right. Now, vindication is what happens when people look at what's happened to you and they go, what's wrong with you? Something ain't right. If you had been doing this right, then you would be like this. You know what I'm saying? If there wasn't anything wrong with you, you would have this kind of life. Or if there must be something wrong with you, because this woman, Elizabeth, lived her whole life with the reproach. The reproach. Job's friends reproached him. There's got to be something wrong with you, Job. Because people like you, if you're really righteous and blameless, wasn't Zechariah and Elizabeth righteous and blameless? And yet they did not have what they prayed for. Right? So, no, at least not until a long time after normal people. Well, there must be something about you that's not normal. You see what I'm saying? People will start to say things and start to get a concept about you where you are under a reproach. And I believe that the servants of God have to deal with that situation where God will vindicate you through your prayer and your time with God, that there is a moment when vindication will come. And you will be shown to be what God truly has called you to be, not what man calls you to be. Because there's a lot of people out there spouting their opinions about what they think is right and wrong. And some of them have a really big microphone, and they're always putting their opinions on you and me and other people and saying, this is what, oh yeah, this is that. That church up there, man, if they were this or that, they would be this. You see what I'm saying? They put their expectations on you. They put their all this stuff on you. And God all this time is with you and standing with you. And there will come a time when there will be a vindication. But it doesn't always come right away at first. You've got to stand and persevere in the power of God. And God will vindicate you. And this thing here, this is what's amazing, is that she was walking under this shame, and God said, it's time to vindicate you and pull that shame off of you. It's time for you to walk in rejoicing. Now, when the angel came, the thing that she did, that she reacted to it, for the very first 5 months of the answer to God, she kept herself hidden. So I want to talk about vindication. Many times when God comes to vindicate you or to heal shame, he will do it in the hidden place. Sometimes that vindication will come and God wants you to stay in a place of hiddenness. God will be working on you on the inside. And so what God will do then is that he will send a messenger, Mary. Mary came right there 6 months after this thing was going on. She came to visit. And when she came to visit, that which God was doing, that new thing inside of her, John jumped and began to rejoice. And the joy of the Lord came back to Elizabeth. So here was a woman who had been dealing with sorrow her entire life. Sorrow because of something that she believed God was going to do that didn't happen. And then when God spoke to her, she stayed in that hidden place. God was working on her in that hidden place. But then there came a time when God will send someone that will come to you, that will call forth that new life, and that joy will begin to come up in you again, and that joy in that particular area that God's called you to have. Amen? And then you'll begin to rejoice in a new way, like John the Baptist was doing somersaults in the womb. And I just want to say this, and maybe I'll just do a message on this someday. But I want you to know something. We all need to stand strong against abortion. Amen. Because this scripture is a foundational scripture on why you should not kill children in the womb. Amen. Because if John the Baptist was the one who heard the voice, he heard Mary's voice and he started rejoicing. Elizabeth didn't know what was going on. John the Baptist knew by the Holy Ghost that she had Jesus in her womb. Amen. That's pretty good. A baby not being born with a word of knowledge. Yes. If God can give someone a word of knowledge before they're born, don't you think it matters what you do to that child in the womb? Amen. And yeah, so we as Christians need to be so strong and so diligent and so unyielding about this. You know, do it. We just got to do what it takes to not kill children in the womb. And that's one thing we saw in India. We saw a general cultural move about wanting this, like women are just not getting a good place there. God's people there will honor women. But, you know, little girl children are usually thrown out. They're just not kept that much. And they're just treated really badly. And it just, that broke our hearts. In particular, the Hindu religious society. Not in the Christian community. But there, you could see it. Oh, it's really bad. Here's a little bit of stuff I didn't know this. Tibetans. We went to this Tibetan refugee center. Okay. They had a monastery and then they had, places for people to live. I did not know this, but every Tibetan family that's there, by their culture, by their law, must choose one of the boys to be a monk or a girl to be a nun. All right. So that's their cult. That's the culture. The culture is you have to serve God and you're going to be, who's going to be the lucky one? Yeah, the Buddha. That's right. They have Buddha, the guy with the belly. I haven't checked this out, but this is what Leslie told me. This is amazing. The remaining boys in the family, of course, they all hope for boys. They don't want girls. They all want boys. All the rest of the boys, and if say there are four boys in the family, one of those boys is the lucky one to be the monk, right? The other three are only allowed to marry one woman. So then one woman gets married to three guys in that family. They all share that one woman. I know you grossed you out. I'm sorry. It's gross. That's it. That's what they do. I mean, that breaks your heart. You're like going, this is insane. And here is the Dalai Lama trotting around America and everybody thinks he's so cool. You know what I mean? Because he wears a red outfit. You know, he looks like a Roman senator, you know. He smiles a lot, has a good PR company out of New York City. You know what I'm saying? But that's what they believe. And that's just, I mean, that's just part of it. But so you go there and all the place is pretty and painted and all this nice stuff going on. And that's what really happens in their families. Yeah. And so I didn't know that. Anybody here know that? I didn't know that. You knew that? Yeah. Tim got that. It's insanity. So anyway, all right, let's get back on here. So Elizabeth stayed hidden during her time of healing. Look at Psalm 32, verse 7. Do not despise your hiddenness. Sometimes God has seasons of hiddenness for his people.
Amen.
Don't despise the time of hiddenness. God was doing a work in Elizabeth during this time. And she did not go out. She stayed at home, didn't tell anybody what was really going on in her life because God was doing a new thing in her life. But you got to realize she lived her entire adult married life under shame. And so God was healing this shame in her, this reproach. And so it began with a season of hiddenness. And there are times when God will put his people through a time of hiddenness. And like you're going to church, you're praying, you're doing everything right. You go to church up on the hill here, whatever. You seek the Lord, you tithe, you go to school. And you're like, where? What's going on here? I feel like I'm in this, you know, like it's, I'm hidden. And, you know, you're not in the newspapers. You're not like everybody's like saying, wow, you're doing really great, you know, blah, 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 and all this stuff. Great stuff's happening, blah, 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 and, you know, all this excitement. But there's a place of hiddenness that God uses people, especially people whom God has called to have a prophetic ministry. Prophets tend to be shaped in the hidden places. And David prayed this prayer. He said, you know, in the secret place you hit, you shaped me in the lower parts of the earth. And in Psalm 32, verse 7, it says here that you are my hiding place. You are my hiding place. So there's times and season where God is actually showing us how to live in Christ, in that hiddenness of the Lord, and not make us conformed to the world.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? That you know, God wants you to be transformed by the renewing of your minds.
Amen.
But sometimes he will call you to a time of hiddenness because he wants to transform you so that you don't get conformed so much.
Amen.
There's times for that. And we need to remember that. John the Baptist, you know, started his ministry in the wilderness, in a hidden place. And people all of a sudden discovered him. And they started coming to him in droves. In lots of droves. He did not have a good PR program. And sometimes, you know, I ask that question, you know, like why don't we do more PR here? You know, why don't we do this stuff? Sometimes God wants you to be hard to get to. Sometimes that's the Lord. So we just have to pray and be wise about that. I mean, I want people to know about us. I really do. You know, I really want that people to know about us. But at the same time, huh? Yeah, not everybody. But there are times when God wants you to be hidden because then that way there's a certain time when he wants you to come forth. Like Elijah, right, was a prophet and he was hidden, right? And God protected him because they were trying to get him. And he knew how to hide in the presence of the Lord. You talked about it today. Guess where David hid? In the court of the enemy. And how did he hide? By being crazy. They thought he was crazy. I will bless the Lord at all times. Guess what? People think you're crazy when you're a radical worshiper. Come on now. Come on, I'm going to tell you this. If you say all the right doctrine, people will not get on your case. But if you're a wild and crazy worshiper and you jump and dance and fall on the floor and run and stuff like that, guess what they say? You're crazy. They get on your case. Am I right? They'll say, oh, no, no, you've got all your doctrines. And oh, come on, they will not fault you for that. But they'll fault you if you worship God and speak in tongues and run around and lay hands on the sick and cast out demons. They'll get you for that. And they'll think you're crazy. But there's a hiddenness in that, that God knows what he's doing. So don't get upset sometimes when you're hidden. God shows us the secret place. In the shelter of your presence, in Psalm 31, verse 20. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from the intrigues of men. From the intrigues of men. How many of you are sick and tired of the intrigues of men? How many of you just don't want to be a part? I mean, I get sick of it sometimes. I'm tired of all this drama. And so God will hide you in the secret place in the presence of God. If you put the presence of God as your number one priority, you won't be doing a bunch of other stuff. And you'll miss out on a lot of the stupid drama that's out there. I'm sorry, I'm just being blunt about it. I don't want that drama. But God will hide you in his presence if you value his presence more than anything. It says, from the intrigues of in your dwelling, you'll keep them safe from accusing tongues. And so Elizabeth had this season of being hidden. And then Mary comes along. And then she's got somebody that's standing with her in the anointing. And there's life there. And when Mary came there, Elizabeth had another person that was going through the same thing. And they were finding great strength. And she stayed there for the last 3 months. And she went home either right when he was born or right before there. So God was doing, God had orchestrated this encouragement to bring her out of, to take away reproach. Amen. I want to just turn now to Isaiah 54, and then I'm just going to, I'm going to wrap it up right here. One of my absolute favorite songs that we did in the early days. Yeah. Isaiah 54. Well, there's a couple of them. From the mountains shall depart, and my kindness shall never be removed. But I want you to look at verse 17. And this is a prayer. This is a scripture that I pray that we pray anytime you feel like the enemy is attacking you. And we sing this song. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. That word righteousness in the King James is better translated vindication. Vindication. That God will give you vindication. So that when you get attacked by the tongues of man. How many of you get attacked by the tongues of man? Everybody say all good things about you all the time? Come on now, if you... if you do Facebook at all, you know that ain't the case, right? Right? And these tongues come against you, God will vindicate you. He will vindicate you. And their vindication is from me. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, condemn it. And I believe that there is a realm of praise. There is a realm of praise where we condemn the tongues of man against us as we praise the Lord. That when we praise the Lord, the enemy's mouth is shut. It's shut. That you stop the lying tongues. You stop the condemning tongues. You stop the ones that try to hinder you from coming into your inheritance as you praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. And then as you sing, it says, with a high praises of God in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand. What is that sword? It's the sword of the Spirit. And what does the sword of the Spirit do? It stops the mouth of the enemy. It stops him from accusing you. The devil is called the accuser of the brethren. Right? It's in the book of Revelation. He's called the accuser of the brethren. What does he do? He accuses God's servants day and night in heavenly places. And so as we praise the Lord, as we worship him, as we get radical in our praise. I mean, this is not lay back in your chair with your remote praise. I'm talking about get out of the recliner, get on the floor and do it for God. I mean, praise him radically. And as you do that, God will shut the mouth of the enemy. That means he will no longer be able to accuse you in heavenly places. And God will come down with his gavel and vindicate you and will say, righteous in my sight. And you'll begin to see the power of God manifest in your life because the enemy, that resistance will be swept away. And I believe it comes as we praise the Lord in his presence. The warfare that we fight, folks, come on now. Even though it's not, it's on the ground. We got people out here actually coming against what we're trying to do. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the warfare in heavenly places. There's a warfare in heavenly places that can only be fought by heavenly worship and prayer and getting in the Spirit. You know, there's the high praises of God in our mouth. It's not just praise. It's the tehillah that we're talking about there, not the halals. It's the higher level of praise. The one that Jehoshaphat used, it says, as they began to praise the Lord, it says that sing and praise, it was the sing and tehillah, not halal. It's going higher in that realm of praise. And I believe that we as Christians, we as believers, need to be totally committed to coming into a high level of praise in our praise. Because if we're going to see spiritual forces moved, it is not going to happen unless we get in that hidden place and begin to just be radical for God and just go for it. And I think God is going to actually silence the enemy, and we're going to see doors open, and we're going to see provision come. We're going to see people's blinded eyes open. I mean, there are people in this town that have been resisting the move of God for so long, and they've been putting off really following God. Come on now. How many people do you know that have a call of God in their life that aren't doing it right now? They're just goofing around, playing around. It's time for some of those people to get back in the saddle for God. And some of it may be a matter of just getting in that realm of praise and prayer and begin to really praise God and really silence the accuser up there. Because that's where he's accusing you day and night, day and night, day and night accusing you. And as we praise God, the enemy is silenced. Amen. Amen. I want us to stand to our feet this morning and let's not give a golf clap to God. Okay. All right. We were on a golf course, but right here we can not do golf clap. Vincent, can you demonstrate a golf clap for us, everybody? That's a golf clap. Okay. Yeah. But I want us to clap right now, and I want us to shout, and I want us to praise God right now. Come on now. God, we praise you and we thank you. We glorify your name. We give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. God, we praise you, Lord. 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 We speak silence to the enemy in heavenly places. We speak silence to the enemy in heavenly places. We say, let the tongue of the enemy be stopped by the praises of God's people. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Man, if an unborn child can dance before the Lord, why can't you and me? We standing there, you know what I'm saying? John the Baptist rejoiced. That means to jump for joy. If he can do that in the womb of his mommy, why can't you do it? Come on, praise God. I want us to jump right now in Jesus' name and begin to thank him and praise him. Do something for God right now. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now we, in one church, they don't have chairs. I want you to know, in India, they don't use chairs in church. They all sit on the floor cross-legged. It's amazing. I don't know how I do it. I get down on the floor for an hour and I wouldn't be able to get back up. I'd have to have like, someone help me, please. You know, so there wasn't a lot of room to dance. There wasn't a lot of room to dance. But I just want to encourage us today that we want to break. Anytime you see a hint of the enemy trying to speak junk about you or to talk junk about what you're doing or about what God has for you, you just get into praise mode and then kick it up into turbo, high praise of God, and you begin to silence the enemy. Turbo praise, yeah. I just want to encourage you in that because, look, the effect of Christmas, I want you to think about this. There are people out there that are full of shame. They're loaded down with shame and reproach. The poor in particular. People just, oh, look at that poor person. You know, in the caste system in India, if you're on the lowest caste, and this one lady took them out shopping, took this low lady out of caste, took her shopping, the people working in the store wouldn't even look at the kid sitting there. They would just take stuff off the shelf and throw it on the floor. Wouldn't even look at her because they despised her so much. This is what they deal with there. Okay? So, I mean, but you know what? We do that in America, too, sometimes with people who are not doing that well. They're poor. They're running out. They may be drunk. They may be having trouble, depressed, or they're struggling, and we just look down on them. We don't show any kind of compassion to them. And I believe that God wants to take the shame off of people that are struggling with drugs. God wants to take the shame off of people that are struggling with poverty, that don't have a good income, or they don't have a good job, or they don't have any. God wants to break that shame off of people so that when they go into a job interview, you know what I mean? There's kind of an attitude that you have that God puts in you, right? That God puts in you. He gives you this attitude where you come in and you say, I'm the child of a king. I'm going in this job interview. I'm believing God. You know what I mean? God wants to use us in this Christmas season to bring some people out of the dirt, bring some people, lift some people up. I'm telling you, we're so blessed in America. We're so blessed. The poverty we see here is nothing compared to the poverty there. It's just unbelievable. Just unbelievable. So when you go there, you really, really see it. And you know, I've been to Caribbean. And I've seen some poverty in the Caribbean, but nothing, it's nothing like India. It's just overwhelming. I mean, our dogs, our pets do better than people there. I mean, it's the truth. We are so blessed. But there are still the poor among us that need to be reached to. So, Lord, look, can we just pray one more prayer before we dismiss today? And then, but Lord, we just pray that you would use us, Lord, to break shame and reproach off of people. Lord, use us to look kindly and gently upon people who are worse off than we are. Lord, we pray that we would have that attitude of gratitude and just have that attitude to reach out to somebody who's struggling with shame. Shame because of their sin in their life. Shame because their parents rejected them. Come on now. There's a lot of people in this county whose parents rejected them, parents who were drug addicts or alcoholics who beat them, treated them badly. Father God, we pray that we would have a word of hope for them, a word of love and a word of acceptance. Father, we thank you for that, Lord. Just use us this Christmas season over the next couple weeks, Lord. Just increase our ability to break shame off of people and to bring them out and let the vindication of God come to them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Father, and if there's anybody here who struggles with condemnation, somehow that voice just keeps playing in their heads that condemns them for stuff they've done or because of nothing, just nothing that they've done. Just, Lord, we just break that in Jesus' name. We break the accusations of the devil. accusations. We break that negative self-talk in Jesus' name. We pray for Holy Ghost joy and laughter. We pray for Holy Ghost words of encouragement in their lives in Jesus' name. We just break that. Let no one here, no one in this room suffer from that kind of mental anguish. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is an encourager, lifting people up out of the miry clay, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We just bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Ronnie, you want to pray anything?
Have a couple of things going around on my thought. I thought, you know, there's something about, I appreciate this message. It stirs up some things the Lord's been showing me the last couple of weeks. And part of that's about getting yourself free in God. Because the enemy, he always does the same thing. He doesn't know anything else. In fact, it's the only thing he has that he can do, and is trying to push us down. You're no good. You're a failure. You're not really anything. Who are you and who do you think you are anyway? I mean, that's all he has to work with. He's not going to come in one day and say, you know, you're really a good saint of God. You're really strong in the Lord, and you're really a powerful person of God. The devil is not going to do that. So we shouldn't be surprised when he constantly pushes the accusing of the brethren. It's always that pressure. It's always that pressure to pull us down. How can we help somebody who is having problems if we're having problems ourselves? I mean, really, if we're pushed down by the enemy, and that's where we have to learn to get the victory, and that has to do with the Tehillah praise that he was talking about. We have to get ourselves free sometimes. You know, and what I was thinking about a couple of weeks ago, and I kind of let it slip. I shouldn't have, but you reminded me of it today. You know, we used to do something. We used to sing the songs like he shared this morning. You remember, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my... Remember that? I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Guess what he's done? Oh, he has made me glad. I'm glad he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad, glad, glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. Oh, I will rejoice for he has... Let's do it again. And I will enter his gates with a smile in my heart. I will enter his courts with, yes, Lord. And I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Are you glad? He has made me glad. Yes, he has. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I'm glad today. He has made, that's what I'm going to do. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Oh, and he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will, sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Now let's give him some praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. What did we just do? We just broke into another level. We're not down in the dumps anymore. We're happy and full and released and confident and flowing because we broke off those shackles. See, that's such a simple message, but we tend to forget that we have to encourage ourselves. We have to get up out of that slump. Then we can help people. Then we can move in God. Then we can be a blessing. Father, we thank you for delivering us from the snare of the fowler, Lord, delivering us from oppression of the enemy. Thank you, God. We are strong in the Lord, and we rise up above it. We rise up above it in the name of Jesus. We make the decision to face the enemy and rise up above his lies. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen.